And it's good to see everybody out this morning. Always encouraging to be able to come together and come to study as we have this opportunity to do so. As we sung that last song, as the beginning of that third verse, it starts off we fail to see the rainbow. Thinking about that as we were singing it, and how true it is that we often forget to look up and simply see the blessings that God continuously gives us. That we sometimes take advantage, and after it rains and doing, I remember sometimes we try to go out and see that rainbow, look for it, where's it going to appear? Other times we don't even think twice, but look for it. But it's a sign of the covenant in which God has made for us, promising that he would never flood this world again, and just such a wonderful promise that he's made. And God continues to bless us, continues to give so much to us. He's always there for us. And we need to open up our eyes and see the great and wonderful things he's done for us. I hope that you'll open up your Bibles and follow along as we go through the lesson this morning. Bringing out today's lesson that went along with an article from last week that was in the bulletin that I had posted to our website. Something that just seems to be a little strong lately, at least in my feed of Facebook stuff, and whether it's been popping up due to government and people who are running for government, or people who've been pointed in certain positions, or even in other religions and who they put up as their leaders, or even in sports. Going forth and go ahead and talk about transgenderism and homosexuality. It's something that is simply just being pushed strongly. Again, it's not something that necessarily has went away at any time and point. Something that's always been there. Some may be able to sit back and think of, well, it wasn't so strong when I was younger, but it's always been there. We know that because we can open up our Bibles and see very early as we can go through the law of Moses and see that it had to be put there in the law. As we can go forth and we have when we studied through Judges, and see the Benjamites got cut up and being carnal. We can go forth and read about Sodom and Gomorrah and see how they were also. And so it's not a new sin. Right? That's one point to bring out, that it's not a new sin that is out there today, but it's certainly being pushed strongly as more people continue to accept it, as more people continue to be open about it, and as the world continues to try to be more worldly as it continues to go along. So I wanted to go ahead and take time, though I had written an article last week, and some of the lessons basically going to be going along with that, so if you read it, it might sound similar to what was in the article. Some extra points, and of course, what I type and what I say usually come out a little different. Always trying to find the right way to write something than just standing up here and talking. So, and talking is more my forte than writing. So, but it's something that needs to be talked about, something that we need to be reminded of as we look to it. And when we talk about homosexuality, or we talk about transgenderism, and we're talking about sexual immorality, and it's, again, it is a sin. One point to bring out that is not in the points here is that it is a sin as any other sin. If we're not sit here and treat it differently than drunkenness, someone who is committing adultery, an immoral marriage that is not, that one person maybe had not rightly divorced a spouse and remarried, any other points that we go through as we look through the Word of God, that it's not something that we need to treat different than any other sin. That when we find someone else is in sin, that we approach them, that we tell them that it is sin. We try to help them out of that sin, try to teach them the truth, pray for them, studying with them. But we need to understand that. It's not that I'm standing up here trying to preach against it because I think it's the worst thing in the cruelty of the world. It is simply the same thing as we get up here and talk about drunkenness. We want to stand up here and talk about lying. We want to stand up here and talk about adultery. Talk about stealing. It's what the Word of God has to say about it. And that the Word of God tells us that it's something we should not be caught up in. And so let us open up our Bibles and see that. And the first point I want to bring out as we talk about that is simply one reason is because it's the way God had designed us. understanding that God is our creator, you know, understanding that we go to John chapter 1 and in verse 1, we look there, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But you get down to verse 3 and it tells us, and all things were created through Him, nothing was made without Him. That we understand God is our creator, God is our designer. He's put us together. He knew us before we was born. God is the one that created mankind. And so when we open up our Bibles and we go to Genesis chapter 1, and we read there in verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them male and female. He created them. God created us differently than all other creatures. God gave us dominion over all other creatures. God created us man and woman, male and female. I'm trying to do my best not to get ahead of myself and other points that we're going to be looking at. But as we bring this out, God created us that way. God created us man and woman, male and female. There is no other gender as we go forth and as we study the Bible, as we open it up and see how it is that God had made us. Even as we talk about the other creatures of this world, as we talk about the animals and we look at dogs and cats and horses, as we look at all the other creatures in this world, we can see that they were made the same way, male and female. We can go to Genesis in chapter 6 as we look about the Noah and the flood, as God is commanding Noah to take the animals up on the ark, that He's taking two of every unclean animal and seven of every clean animal. Now why? Why take two of every clean animal? Or unclean animal, or make sure, well, you read here in Genesis 6, verse 19, it says, "And of every living thing, of all the flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female." Oh, once you get off the ark, and God goes and reestablishes this world and living life upon this world, male and female. Why? Because it's just the way God has designed us. It is the natural way in which we are born, because that's the way what God created us. That's the way God made the animals. That's the way God created all living things upon this earth, male and female. It is a plain point. Whether you want to get caught up in saying it's a scientific point, a natural point, it is a spiritual point, this is the way God made us, male and female, since the beginning of time, since day six, when He created mankind. It's how we was made. It's how we was made. As we get on to the point of transgenderism, then we're getting on to changing that, changing the way in which we were born, changing the way in which we were created, and changing the way in which we look, and starting to change our style and the way we want to live our lives, and thinking that, and just because we have free will, we get to do whatever we want. Understand again, the Word of God has a few things to say about that. In Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5, if you will. Deuteronomy in chapter 22 and verse 5. Deuteronomy 22. And reading here in verse 5, it says, "A woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garments. For all who do so are an abomination to the Lord your God." And so as it gets here, just in wearing the other sex's, the other gender stuff, it gets caught up. A woman should not wear what a man wears. A man should not wear what the woman's wearing. And I know culture has changed. And I know that we can get caught up. And well, what exactly does that get caught up into the point of what our culture is here in America, what culture is in other countries, what it was in this day and age, and what they wore and what we wear. And we'll talk about dresses and pants and skirts and suits. And what does that go down? And we have to look at that. But there is a natural way in which we get caught up in saying, well, that looks like a man's outfit. That looks like a woman's outfit. It's a simple point. We do know that. We have that built in our mind, in the back of our mind, that this is naturally usually goes in this way. When you're standing behind somebody, we get caught up and say, well, that looks like a woman. That looks like a guy. We stand in front of somebody. We assume, and some assumptions get us caught in the wrong places sometimes, but we assume that's a guy. That's a girl. Because the way they dress, the way they look. Naturally, God made us look a little different. And the way we dress says that too. As we can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Turn along with me here. And in verse 14, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. It says, does not even nature, it's not getting caught up in the choice here, getting caught up in decision. It says, does not nature, even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is dishonor to him, but if a woman has long hair, it is glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. And it's the point that it says nature. The point that it is bringing out, this is the way God designed, God made us into that. It's a natural way. In Revelation chapter 9, it makes a point similar to that. Revelation chapter 9, verse 8, as it's speaking about and prophesying and different things. And it makes this point here. It reads, Revelation 9 and verse 8, it says, they had hair like woman's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. Now, when it says, when they had hair like woman's hair, do you picture a bald person there? Someone with short cut like mine? Mine's longer than I wanted. I need a haircut. There's a natural point, natural mindset that you picture when you read that. When it says it has hair like a woman. And we don't picture someone who's bald. We don't picture a Pharaoh that has shaved his head. But there's a natural way in which we picture that. A way in which it is naturally women. There's a way that it's naturally men. And now understand, if you go back and you try to find some of my high school pictures, I had some longer hair. I did it once. Nice and shaggy. But we need to understand that there is a difference in a way men are to be dressed, women are to be dressed, that we're supposed to act. God designed us. God designed us for specific reasons too. God made us in the image that we look at. And as we go forth and we look at, well, this is, you know, you can do what you want, you do what you want, don't hurt anyone's feelings. The Bible tells us otherwise. God shows us that He made us male and female. Not only did He make us male and female, but He made us a little bit differently. Alright? We are made a little bit differently. And that's where it comes into that marriage. And when we get caught up in looking at the difference of the looks and that we were made a little different, it's because God saw when He created Adam, because Genesis 2 goes into a little more detail than Genesis 1. In Genesis 1, it says God made them male and female. It seems that He made them both there at the same time. God said, let us make mankind, and there we were. Genesis 2 tells us otherwise. Genesis 2 tells us He went forth and He created Adam of the dust of the ground. He formed him and breathed life into him. And He set Adam in the midst of the garden. And Adam went forth and named the creatures of the earth. But then God looks down at Adam and says, it's not good for man to be alone. So He did not make him at the exact same time and moment. And therefore He designed women. Created women from Adam. And in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And in verse 24. Genesis 2 and verse 24. Coming back to that. Here it says, therefore man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. And they shall become one flesh. A man shall leave his parents and be joined to his wife. Not to his husband. Again, why? Because when God looked at Adam, He said it's not good that man shall be alone. Why? Because the temptations that are going to come upon the earth, that's going to come upon Adam, that's going to come upon mankind by being alone. By being just alone with other men. Like homosexuality. Like just being alone with animals. Because we see that. Again, you might get caught up saying, really? You think it's going to go that way? there's laws in the law of Moses that go against it. We'll look at that here in a minute. Before we go there, Matthew 19 again. Jesus pointing back to this point, coming back to the way we simply were created. Matthew 19 and in verse 4. Matthew 19 and verse 4. It says, "And he answered and said to them, Have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female? And he said, For this reason, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." Again, it's the way we're created. And as we look at that, we look at the point that it says, and he leaves father and mother. We make that separate point, going back to the way we were designed. Man and man cannot have children. Women and women cannot have children naturally. It doesn't work. It's not the way we were designed. It's not the way we were created. Mankind has come up with science and this and that, that they're able to get men to donate certain things so that women can have the children without a guy, but they still needed something from the guy. It's coming back to the way God has designed it, the way the parenthood is supposed to be, a father and a mother raising children. This is the way God has designed it, the way God has made us. It's the way God has instituted marriage. Turn along with me to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18, and you read here in verse 22. Again, here it says, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." Plain and clear. Again, "You shall not lie with a woman as you would, or lie with a man as you would with a woman." A man shall not do that. A man should not do that. Again, it's brought up again in Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus 20 and in verse 13, it says, "If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." Again, verse 15. Jump down here. It says, "If a man mates with an animal, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall kill the animal. If a woman approaches any animal and mates with it, you shall kill the woman and the animal. They shall surely be put to death. The blood is upon them." Again, you go back to when God looked at Adam and said it's not good for man to be alone. Why? Temptation. Loneliness, as he's sitting there alone, the temptation is there at the door. Nothing to turn to, nothing to fulfill that lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride that comes upon him. And he commits an abomination with other men, with animals. And again, we get caught up in the transgenderism today that people want to identify as animals. People want to identify that they're a horse or a dog, or want to know if they can marry one of their animals, their pets. It's not the way in which God has designed us, and God saw this coming, and God took care of it. What did he do? He created a woman. He created a mate that was comparable to him. God made sure we had a way to escape this temptation, a way in which we can escape and live faithfully to our God. Again, it doesn't mean you have to get married. We know that. We can look at the example of the Apostle Paul. He even makes the point that if you truly dedicate yourself to God, that it is better to go unmarried, because then you have nothing other than dedication there that you have to take care of. Because as you have a spouse, you have her needs or his needs to take care of. You have children, you have to make sure you provide for them and doing certain things. But when we look at this point, God is showing us here. God is showing us that it's man with woman, woman with man. That is the only way in which God has created us. And to be able to fulfill this lust that is there. God created us this way. And this is the way we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to go beyond what he has done for us. In Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. in verse 26. It says, "For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even the women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due." Again, here telling us that if we give in and we do these things, you are setting yourself up to receive the punishment, the wrath in which God will deliver. As it's read in Leviticus, an abomination is what is being committed. Again, it's not my words. It's not that I have condemned anyone. It's simply teaching what God has told us, has shown us. It's simply looking, again, as it brings out what is natural, the nature of the things. It's something if we sit back and truly take a look at, we know these things. Yet mankind is giving in and constantly trying to go a different way. And again, it's no different than anything else. I mean, we shouldn't get caught up, because that's what I hear so many oftentimes as I talk to brethren on the subject is, "I can't believe." You know, we get caught up and we're surprised. It's brought up all the way back in Leviticus. It's brought up, you know, as we look at Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis. It's Judges, as we look in there. We see how sinful men get constantly. It's not new. And again, it's not any different than any other sin that we need to know about it. We need to know how to teach against it. We need to be willing to stand our ground. We need to have a faith in God. We need to pray about it. And we have to be willing to forgive others if they get caught up in it. And if they're willing to repent and turn. But I believe it's a subject that sometimes we don't want to talk about, a subject that we don't want to approach, but we have to be willing to do that also. We sometimes have a whole lot easier pointing out other things, or some who do point it out approach it a whole lot harder than they do anything else, remembering that we have to approach the other sin also. Like I said, it's just simply something that I see being posted a whole lot more lately. Thought I should talk about it. I hope that I've helped a little bit in understanding. I'm more than happy to sit down and study and talk more to anyone who has any more questions or any thoughts or anything they would like to study. If you feel like the Word of God points to any other direction, I'd be more than happy to sit down and study and see what the truth is. Don't want to leave without extending any invitation this morning. Any here that needs the prayers of the congregation, it may not have to do anything with what we talked about this morning. So therefore, we always extend the invitation to any who need it. Prayers of the congregation to help you to come forward and just to confess faults to your brethren so that we can be there for you, so that we can assist you, so we can aid and help. Or if you're here and you know right from wrong and yet you've not obeyed the gospel, you have not been baptized into Christ to wash away your sins, we extend that opportunity also. We'd love to assist you. If there's anything we can do for you, let me know. Stand.